Thank you, Rebecca, and Bill, and messengers somewhere in here, I think, and Sanctuary Choir for leading us in worship. Our passage today is found in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. We're beginning a new series of messages today about the images of the church that are presented to us in Scripture. There are many images that are presented to us in Scripture. I'm reminded, in fact, as we begin this series, it's a little bit like the old story that's told of five blind men that are in a village, and they have an elephant that's coming to the village, and they've never seen or experienced an elephant before. And so when the elephant comes, the five blind men experience this and encounter the elephant in different ways. One touches the side of the elephant and says the elephant is like a huge wall, and he's right. But another one touches the tail at the end, and that's the part of the elephant that he encounters, and he said, no, you're wrong. The elephant is like a rope, and he's right. And then another one touches the leg, you know, the huge elephant leg, and said, no, you're wrong. The elephant is like a huge tree stump. A huge tree growing up out of the ground. And then another says, no, you're wrong. He's touching the trunk. The elephant is like a huge snake that winds back and forth. And then another one says, you're wrong. The elephant is like the spear. It's sharp and it's smooth. And he's touching the tusk, of course. Which one is right? All of them. There's some 80 plus images given of what the church is. Of who we're called to be, of how we're called to live. So we're going to look at some of those images together. But in no one of them are we going to be able to get the totality of the church. We're going to get a portion of it. It's almost like going to a museum and you're looking at one portrait in the museum. And then you go from one portrait to another. And it's the entire museum that houses all of those portraits. We have lots of portraits that we're going to look at together of who the church is, of who we're called to be. One of the things that's in common in all of these, I told you your passage is in Matthew, so don't turn to John. I'll just read this to you. One of the things that we have that's in common in all of them is that they're linked to Jesus and they're seen through the prism of Christ. So in John chapter 8, this is Jesus speaking, and he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That's Jesus speaking about himself, saying he is the light of the world. We understand that to mean he is the means by which we will have salvation. He rescues us out of darkness into light. He brings forgiveness of sins. He allows us to have eternal life. All of those things are true. And then in Matthew chapter 5, which is where we are, and the passage that we'll look at more intently, you see in verse 14, Jesus saying to others, to believers, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus has declared that he is the light of the world, and then he tells us that we are the light of the world. How's that work exactly? Well, I think of it in terms of a sun and a moon. Jesus is a sun. He radiates his own. He is the power source that enables all to come to the Father. And we are more like the moon. We reflect his light. The moon, you know, it doesn't have its own light in and of itself. It doesn't produce its own light. If you've been hiking at night, I used to go hiking at night a lot when I was in college with my friends, and we could tell a big difference between when there was a full moon and you could see things really well and you could go where you wanted to go, and when there was not a full moon. when there was a sliver of a moon, you know, just a crescent moon, if it was waxing or waning, or even when there was no light at all and you bumped into people all night long because you couldn't see. Well, we're called to be the light of the world, not in and of ourselves, but through the light that Jesus gives to us, in us, through us. We're called to give His light to others so that they can also find a relationship with Christ. This passage starts out by saying, "You are the light of the world." Remember, we always have application questions. So here's your first application question from Scripture to us. Who is relying on you to be the light of Jesus? Who is relying on you to be the light of Jesus? If we're called to be the light of the world, which we are, and we realize and know that there are people in our lives who will only experience the light of God's love as coming through us, then who are those people? In your encounters with them, are you like the full moon that's actually radiating the love and light of Christ? Or are you a sliver of a moon? Just a little bit of God is coming through you. Or is it a black moon, where you can see the outline of the moon, but no light is coming? How are you living in your life? The passage keeps going. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Have you ever played Where's Waldo? Yes? You know Where's Waldo? I thought about making one of you guys have Where's Waldo, like underneath, you know, like a candy cane. Somebody would have it, and you just barely have it. I didn't do that, so you don't have to look at them the whole time wondering who's Waldo. But Where's Waldo? I remember I would come to my orthodontist office, and they had these Where's Waldo books, and I would look at the pictures and spend as many minutes as I could trying to identify this tiny little striped sweatered dude who it shouldn't be that difficult to find, right? I mean, you know, he's got a striped sweater on. You don't find very many of those guys around, just a striped red sweater. That's it's pretty obvious, but it's not obvious. Because when you look at the picture, the artist has made it so that you cannot find Waldo. He's, you know, just barely peeking out of somewhere, and you can see just a sleeve of his sweater. Or maybe he's, you know, in the middle of a candy cane field. Great. Never going to find Waldo today. How is it that you're going to find the Waldo that's there? For us, as Christians, when a passage says to me that we are not supposed to hide our light under a bowl, it makes me wonder if sometimes we're not a little bit like Waldo. That we're Christians and we have God's light in our life, and His light can transform others. But instead of being bold with the light, we're a little bit more like Waldo and peeking out, trying to stay a little bit more hidden, not willing to be completely exposed. Scripture teaches us that as the light of the world, we have to bring that light to others. I've been to Athens before in Greece, and if you've been to Athens, you know that the ancient city was built on a hill. And as you're in the surrounding area, coming up to the old city, it's lit up at night, and it's enormous and beautiful, and there is no hiding it. It's a city on a hill. Is that who we are? Or not? Our second application questions. When and why have you been tempted to hide that you were a Christian? When and why have you been tempted to hide that you were a Christian? We read passages like Ephesians 5:8 telling us that you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Philippians 2:14 and 16 says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Hebrews 10:32. Remember those earlier days when you had not, when you had received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. You were called to be ambassadors of light in a world of darkness. Ambassadors of light. That's our trade. That's what we're able to give away. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world, and he also tells us that he is the light of the world, he's giving us a model of how we should live, of what it means to be the light. See, in Jesus' life, we find him doing the good deeds in a dark world that allowed his light to come. We find him with the people who were the outcasts that no one else would talk to. We find him with the literal outcast of society, like lepers, with them, having relationships, teaching them, healing them. We find him with tax collectors and sinners, having a dinner with them and having other people look at him and say, why would you be willing to do that? Those people are the scoundrels of the earth. And Jesus says, exactly. You're exactly right. They need light. They need love. They need hope. We find Jesus having a conversation with one of those tax collectors when he's up a tree, literally Zacchaeus up in a tree, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, you come down from that tree because I'm going to your house today. And the world says, what are you doing? And Jesus, by his deeds and by his words, is reaching out with his light and with his love. We find it in his interaction with disciples as he's willing to serve them even on the night when he's going to be betrayed. Laying aside his glory in order to wash disciples' feet. We find it with Jesus having a conversation outside of town with a woman at the well who's there at a time so that she could avoid all crowds because she's an outcast. And Jesus has a relationship and an encounter and speaks words of truth and light and love. When we're told in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven, it means that we have a model that we can follow, and we, in following his model, bring good deeds of light and love that point away to a relationship with Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says this, "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." See, we should be living such lives of service and of love that when people see us and think of us, they see the light of Jesus reflected in us. That brings us to application questions again. What actions have you completed over the last week that reveal the light of Jesus to others? What actions have you completed over the last week that reveal the light of Jesus to others? I find it easy sometimes to talk about love in a kind of mystical way, but love really is practical. It has actions behind it. It has hands and feet. It has specific things that are done, that accompany it. It's not just an idea. It's something that we embody as we have interactions with others. So then we have to ask ourselves, what actions have you completed over the last week that reveal the light of Jesus to others? That's the last week. Or maybe we should ask it this way, from God's perspective. What actions over the last week have you completed that demonstrate his love to others? Because his perspective is probably going to be a little bit different than ours. Maybe a little truer. That question about what happened last week is really just to prepare us for what happens this week. Here's your last application question. What actions can you plan to take this week to reveal his light to others? What actions can you plan to take this week to reveal his light to others? See, I think that if we're called to be God's light in the world, then there's specific people that you can reach out to that I can't. That are in your friend network, that are in your family network, that are in your work network, that are in your relational sphere that I can't reach to. And I have people in my sphere that you can't reach. How are you going to reach out to those people in your sphere, in your network, and demonstrate God's love to them? Who are the people in your life that need to know God's love? Who are the people that need to experience his mercy and his grace, his serving? Who are those people in your life? Who are the people that God brings to your mind even now that you know need his light, his love? So with that person that's brought to mind, what then can you do in this week to bring his love to them? That's what it means to be people of God. That's what it means to be a part of the church. So we're people of light, ambassadors of light, bringing his light into the dark world, finding ways to continually go out into the darkness with his light so that others can see and know it. We're coming to our time of response. Here's how our time of response will work. We'll sing a hymn together. And as we sing that hymn, if you're a person in the room who's not yet a Christian, during that time, you can become a Christian. You can come forward and say, I need to be a Christian, which means believing in the death and resurrection of Jesus and making him the master of your life. It means having that light in your own heart and life. There's others in the room who are Christians and you're looking for a church home. You need to know who we are. We do our best to love God, to love each other, and to love the world. If that's who you are, then during this time, you can come forward and say, I need to join this family of faith. And then there's the rest of us in the room who are Christians and members already. And as we sing a song of response, we keep those questions on the front of our mind and have a conversation with God and ask those questions of him and allow him to speak to our hearts so that we take his word and put it into action in our lives, in this minute and in the minutes that are to come in the week ahead. Please stand with me as we continue to respond to God's movement in our midst.